Hello.
Hello, is this Zach Murphy, a.k.a. City in Ruin?
Yes, it is. Who's calling?
This is Echo Craft. What's going on, dude?
Hey.
Why are you acting like a weirdo?
What's up?
Well, we haven't done a podcast in a while, so this is kind of interesting. I'm actually on the move right now as I'm talking to you, so if anybody out there can actually hear what's going on in the background? Sorry. Yeah, man. So, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Had some nice dinner with Bree, and then now I'm just hanging out.
For those of you who don't know what Bree is, Bree actually isn't the cheese. It's Zach's girlfriend. So, hang on one second.
See how he is? He calls me and tells me to hang on.
Well, I'm trying to set something up as we're speaking here, and I...
What an asshole.
Siri won't let me, of course, do anything because she's a friggin' idiot, but... I love Apple, don't get me wrong. I'm an Apple guy, but I really kind of get teed off at Siri because she's an idiot. I already said that, right? Okay, so, anyway... See if I can get this going. There it is. Didn't need Siri. Nothing like manual. I think that's manual. So, you know, we haven't done a podcast in a while. I've been kind of busy with other things going on in life as usual. I'm sure you have too. So, yeah, man. So, I know there's a lot of stuff that I wanted to cover on the last time we were supposed to do the podcast, but I didn't get a chance to, only because it was actually really cool and really intriguing. It was an article that I read in the New Yorker. Imagine I read the New Yorker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to have some type of IQ to do this kind of thing. So,
yeah, right.
But yeah, so I read the article, and it was about the history of the vocoder. And I don't know if you had a chance to read that, Zach. I did send it to you, but I don't think you had a chance to read it because you were pretty busy yourself. So I just thought I found it very fascinating because you don't usually see stuff like that in the New Yorker, which really intrigued me anyway. But I don't know. Do you know anything about vocoders?
A little bit. I'm still interested that a newspaper would post stuff like that, though. That's still pretty.
Yeah, pretty it's weird. It was cool though. See if I can pull it up here. One of the things that I thought was neat was the age. Let me see if I can get it. Actually, how old the vocoder was and what it was used for, which was really interesting. And it was actually, let's see if I can get it here. Stories, here we go. It was used in the beginning for using to decode communications between soldiers and stuff in World War II, I believe, and also between ships and stuff like that, so that the enemy couldn't actually hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hear what was being said. So that was really interesting.
That's kind of cool. Because I remember the vocoder that I know of now is like the voice codec that like synthesizes your voice and stuff, and it makes it like you can edit it and like do like multiplexing and
right
like and that, like transform your voice.
Right, and that's basically that's what it was, and that's what it was used for. And I'm looking for it here, and all I see is a bunch of political crap. Yeah. So basically, and the vocoder that was used, they showed a picture of it. It was huge, man.
Mm-hmm.
wow, this is a pretty liberal magazine. Sorry out there for all you liberal fans. I wasn't meaning any disrespect. I just am interested in finding out a lot of things that I didn't really want to look at, actually. Let me see if I can just type it in. Yeah, so like what they would do is this thing was huge. It was massive. It would take up like a whole room on one of the ships. And it was actually not analog, believe it or not. It actually had digital converters on it, which, really? Yeah, I found that really interesting.
Yeah, because it's analog now, isn't it?
Well, the very first one was owned, obviously, by the military. So it was when the vocoder became like a musical slash instrument, basically that obviously was analog.
And who makes it, Korg?
Well, there's a couple of companies. The original vocoders that were made, I believe, the one that I saw was made by Roland, I believe.
Hmm.
Here it is here. Got it. Yeah, so this is really cool. So the one that they show in the pictures, this is actual video too. So if you people haven't had a chance to check it out, it's very cool. It's called The New Yorker Magazine. You can go online. The video is right here. I'm looking at it. You just go on The New Yorker, type in vocoder, and the name of it is Object of Interest, the vocoder. And then you just click on the little play button and you can watch the whole video. That's what I did. So yeah, it was really cool. And it says here, the vocoder, pop military technology, pop musical instrument, has quite the history. In our new Object of Interest video, we explore the vocoder in settings ranging from the Second World War to Kraftwerk parties, featuring interviews with Laurie Anderson, Cosmo D, Dave Tompkins, and Frank Gentage. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing the name wrong. But yeah, it was actually really cool. And I watched the whole thing. It's not very long either.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually... It was all about like how they used to use it to ping the sounds back and forth so that the enemy wouldn't know what they were saying on how they were moving ships and where the enemies, you know, the enemies were and where our soldiers needed to be and stuff like that. It was just really interesting. So if you get a chance, again, The New Yorker, Object of Interest, the vocoder, definitely check it out. And also on The New Yorker, I thought this was really interesting. Pop music sound machine. This is, like I said, in The New Yorker, and I only read half of this. I want to read the full thing, but it talks about the band Kraftwerk, which is a big influence on a lot of us who write electronic music. They were huge in 1981. I'm sorry. No, I'm reading the wrong thing. They were huge in the 70s, I believe. Let's see. I'll look that one up too. I've been listening to Kraftwerk for a long time when I got introduced to them. And frankly, they blew my mind. I don't know if you've ever listened to them, Zach. It's sacrilege if you haven't.
I think a couple times. I think you've showed me them before and stuff like that, but it was a little bit before my time. So.
Yeah, you're a young kid.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 is so young.
Let's see. Kraftwerk, 1969.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They're from Dusseldorf, Germany.
Yeah.
Electronic synth pop, art pop, avant-garde, and krautrock. Wow.
Wait, they were in a category called avant-garde?
Well, avant-garde music, and also krautrock, believe it or not.
Krautrock.
Yes, krautrock is a broad genre of experimental rock that developed in Germany in the late 1960s. The term krautrock was originated by English-speaking music journalists as a humorous name for a diverse range of experimental German bands whose music drew on the sources of psychedelic, I call it up right here, psychedelic rock, the avant-garde, electronic music, funk, minimalism, jazz, improvisation, and world music styles.
Wow.
Yeah. Krautrock. So those of you out there, I'm not trying to be racist or politically incorrect. There is actually a genre called krautrock. Check it out. Pretty cool. Yeah, and it names a whole bunch of bands that were under that genre. But yeah, Kraftwerk was a big influence on me back in the day. Still is. I still love listening to them. One of my favorite songs by them was called Pocket Calculator. Oh. Have you ever heard that?
No.
You've never heard that?
Of the Pocket Calculator thing?
Yeah, you've never heard. Here, I'll play. If anybody can hear this, I'm going to actually play it. Yeah, Kraftwerk.
Yeah. The Kraftwerk, yeah.
Kraftwerk in artist, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And here we go. I hope this isn't too loud. Let's see. We'll just do Kraftwerk Essentials. And Computer World, another good song. Here we go. Pocket Calculator.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear that? Can you hear that, Zach?
Yeah.
These guys are awesome, man. Kraftwerk was actually referred to as the Beatles of electronic music.
Really?
Yes. With my pocket calculator.
Oh my God.
Oh. So good. I'm actually going to let that play in the background.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So what's really cool about Kraftwerk is, and this has to do with the vocoder as well. In the late 60s, early 70s, I'm just going to read it. It says, with repetitive rhythms and catchy pop lyrics processed through a vocoder, Kraftwerk, German for power station, suggests that mankind was becoming ever more machine-like, and that was probably okay in 1974. In 1974, Autobahn, and its enchanting side-long title track became the band's first international hit. And the album that came off of was Trans-Europe Express. The man-machine inspired white new wave groups like Depeche Mode, as well as soon-to-explode universe of black dance music. It was enough to give cyborgs a good name. One of my favorite. I mean, dude, there's so many of them. Like Tour de France, Autobahn. Here, I'll play a little Autobahn for you.
Autobahn, yeah.
So good. Check out that car. You hear that car?
Yeah.
Sounds like an old MG or something.
Huh.
These guys are so good. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
There's a vocoder for you. Yeah, so what I liked about Kraftwerk was I read a lot about them when I first got turned on to them, and this is back in like the late 80s. A friend turned me on to them, and I was under the influence of a plant that is now legal in Massachusetts. And I heard Autobahn and I went, who the hell is this?
Autobahn, yeah.
And back then it was weird because, you know, you know, I come from, you know, rock and roll, blues, heavy metal, you know, background. And I was always intrigued with synthesizers, as I've said in many podcasts that we've done, and also the interview that I did with you. But nobody really listened to this stuff. The friends that I hung out with anyway, and a friend of mine did turn me on to this, and he said, you got to check these guys out. They're really cool. They're innovative. They've been around since the late 60s. So I did, and I fell in love with them because they were different.
Yeah.
The other cool thing about them, Zach, is they had a hard time creating a lot of these sounds because they actually had to create their own instruments. From what I understand, one of the things that was cool about them was the drums that they used, the drum machines that they used, I know were taken from like old organ drums. You remember the big old Hammond organs or whatever they were called? And they had little drum machines in them. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the guys, and I forget which one it was, took it apart and took that drum machine thing out and actually made like the first drum pads using those sounds.
Really?
Yeah. So I just thought that was very intriguing, very interesting. So that's what made me like them even more. If you ever have a chance to check them out, go onto YouTube. And check out Kraftwerk on YouTube and see them, what they do live, because they look like robots.
Really?
Yeah, they actually look like some of their videos, their earlier videos had them. They actually had robots that look like their faces and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just freaking so cool, man. And they were ahead of their time, you know? But I mean, you know, the vocoder has been around a long time, and you know, these guys adapted to it and took off with it. And I mean, you hear you can hear the vocoder pretty much on a lot of people's albums.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, if you get a chance, check out the New Yorker. Check out the vocoder video. Please check out Kraftwerk. Another great band that I came across in the late 90s was a band called Kraftwelt. There's one for you. I'm actually going to pull that up. Let's see. Yep, Kraftwelt. Here they are. Let's see. Musical group. They call themselves an electronic dance pop group. These guys were not dance pop. This was definitely more along the lines of Kraftwerk. Yeah, here we go. Here, I just want to see if it says anything about there, because there's no Wikipedia on them either, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Because this song is really good. There's a song they did called Deranged. And I think you'd like them, Zach, because they're creepy.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Their music is really strange. Yeah, there's no Wikipedia on these guys, man.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. But I like the name of Kraftwerk, though, and what the name meant. I never knew that. See that? I didn't know that it meant power station. Interesting.
Yeah.
My name's Echo Kraft with a K, so what does that mean? Echo station?
Kind of.
Or echo power? Maybe it's echo power. I always go to Google Translate and find out.
Right, do it.
I'm gonna right now, damn it.
Do it, hurry up.
Wow.
We're all waiting.
So demanding.
I am.
So listen, the other thing I was gonna talk to you about too, is I'm gonna try to get the owner of Blood Honey on the podcast, see if I can get him to come onto the podcast, see if Jeremy wants to do it. It'd be really interesting to, he's a funny son of a bitch too. So
yeah,
it would be really interesting to get him on here and, you know, ask him about the label and how he started and stuff like that. Cause he's got a lot of awesome artists on his label.
Yeah, he does.
What do you think of that idea?
No, I think it's good. I think Jeremy has a pretty good perspective of literally like someone who came from doing it as like an idea hobby in his like room and then turned it into having like he's got what almost probably 100 artists he's pushed out.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, he's got a lot of people on there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm just trying to find out, like, yeah, Google Translate is not telling me anything. Why? I don't understand. Kraftwelt. It's not telling me what the name means, actually. It's weird. Yeah, so I was thinking of doing that. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking something else up here as I'm talking to you. I know I'm a bad host this tonight. It's... Sorry.
It's okay, baby.
Hold on. Sorry, ladies and gents.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm loving this new World of Warcraft soundtrack for Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah, I listened to some of it before I got online with you, and I actually kind of liked it. It was kind of cool. Dude,
it's not, like, weird, repetitive, like, kind of just, like, meant for filler for the game. It's, like, full, like... Oh, it's so good, dude. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I listened to some of it. I thought it was cool. So, is it... It sounds... There's definitely some orchestral stuff in there, and also...
oh, yeah.
The big, like, choir voices and stuff, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they do that a lot. They every time a new expansion comes out, they make like a theme
for the
expansion, and then they make a soundtrack for like that, like because they base it a lot on like different cultures and stuff.
Yeah,
and the music is always really good, but something about the new one like kind of stuck out. It just seemed like it was a lot fuller than some of the other ones, because a lot of times like they'll make like a separate soundtrack,
right,
and a lot of that music like isn't necessarily in the game or in an area of the game where you'll hear it, because it's in a very like small like town or it's only in one zone. And I think that there's gonna be more of it from what they said in the actual game, which is cool, like giving you more like than that obnoxious, like, repetitive, like, you know, 10 keys. It seems like it's definitely going to be, like, all over the place and different zones and stuff like that, and, like, more, like, in the background as you play and stuff, which is always nice.
Right, right. Yeah, I played World of Warcraft before it even went online.
Mm-hmm.
That was what, 2002?
It came out in 2006, I believe, for, like, to be online. And
to be online, yeah. But it was 2002, I believe, is when I got my first copy, and I got a T-shirt, too. I still have the T-shirt, actually. I think I showed it to you.
What did you... did you play, like, the before the beta? Oh, no. Or did you play, like... Or did you play Warcraft, like, 3 or something?
No. I'll bring it up right now there, Slim Shady. Let's see. Yeah, man, I played it. Let's see. World of Warcraft. There's that word craft again.
I told you, bro.
Let's see. The original World of Warcraft.
Yeah, guy. Yeah.
I come to, it's not a work Wikipedia. I got the Wikipedia.
I don't know why. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here.
No.
Oh, was it 2004? Yeah, it was released November 23rd, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Massive online playing game released by Blizzard. Yeah, but it wasn't online when I played it at all. And the I don't know, did it have the dwarf on it and the
Yeah, it's got the night elf and the dwarf.
Yeah. But I don't remember seeing, because on my shirt I have the orc. The hell is it? Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. And then, yeah, because I remember when, yeah, I had the very first one, because this was just Warcraft, and then there was Warcraft, what was it?
It was like Warcraft 2, like Orcs versus Humans, like Warcraft 3.
Which was the Frozen Throne.
And then there was World of Warcraft started in like 04 or 05.
Yeah, I don't know, I have to look at the shirt again. It says, it has the date on it, the release date, because it was a promotional shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, but it wasn't online, dude.
You might have just played Warcraft then.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Because like the beta and everything and stuff like that for a while was big, but I don't know, 2002. I don't think they released a beta for it that early.
Let's see. Yeah, that's the movie. I don't care about the movie.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, this is it. Warcraft 3. That's the shirt. 2002. Yep. I was right. Yep, that's what I played. I got the game for free because I worked, I won't name the place I worked at. And I worked there, and the guy came in and he said, "Hey, you want a free copy of Warcraft?" I go, "What the hell is it?" He goes, "Well, it's Warcraft 3. You got to play the other two." I said, "Well, I probably won't, but just give me the free game." So he gave me that and a free T-shirt. And nice. I still have the T-shirt. T-shirt's badass. It's got the orc on the back with the – it's huge, dude. It's almost faded, unfortunately, because I wore it all the time. But it has Warcraft on the front. And it says 2002 on it. I wore it into work one day last year, and a bunch of Kristen freaked.
Really?
Yeah, a bunch of people in work were like, "Dude, where'd you get that?" I'm like, "Yeah, you weren't even born when I got this." So, like, you know.
It's so true.
It is. It's weird. But anyway, well, they were in diapers as it was. I never got into StarCraft. StarCraft looks pretty cool.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. StarCraft is so fun. But I will say this, and this isn't meant to be racist. It's just meant to be like the facts. Bro, you play against anyone with like a symbol for a name.
Yeah.
If they're like from Korea or like China, or like Japan.
And they kick your ass, right?
It's not even worth playing. Dude. It's not.
Because I remember when this came out. It's just called StarCraft, 1998, dude. Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then StarCraft Brood War. I remember that because the chick looked like Angelina Jolie on the cover of the box.
Yep.
But I didn't get into I just started playing Diablo. I mean, that's when what do you call it? Blizzard was on fire with those games.
Oh yeah, dude! I love Diablo. I play for the computer, but I have the newer one for my PlayStation 4 Pro. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I still play it. I didn't get that. Should I get it?
Yeah, it's cheap now. It's like $10. You get the expansion. It's really cool, dude. I liked it a lot.
And for the, what, the PS4?
Yeah, I'll play it with you. It's fun.
Yeah, because I played Diablo 1 and Diablo 2. I liked it.
It's really fun. Especially, like, if you don't, like, for you, like, because you don't play, like, on the computer, like, for games and stuff.
Right.
Like, the controls are, like, not the same, but it's just, like, there's no overly complicated, just feels. I personally like the fact that I don't have to click where I want to go. I can just move my character with a, like, joystick, so.
What is it, Diablo, what number is it?
Diablo 3, and they did, like, two expansions for it. Like, the first one brought the, like, the Crusader, and then the second one brought, like, the Necromancer and stuff. But you can get, like, it for, like, PlayStation 4. I want to say it's, like, $10 or $20, and you get, like, all the expansions with it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's fun, dude. I enjoy it.
It's, yeah, I can download it, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out, because I like the. Is it still a side scroll? Like, what do you call it?
Yeah, it's the overhead, like, dungeon look.
Yeah, third person.
Yeah. It's overhead. That's cool.
Yeah, I like the game. I played the hell out of Diablo, the first one, when it came out.
Oh yeah, it's really fun.
Cool.
And you can, like, boost too, because, like, of, like, how the leveling works. So, like, I have a Crusader, like, max level or some shit. I haven't played it in a while, but if you, like, wanted to play, I could legit bring you into, like, the, like, hell mode or whatever the hell it is, or the torture or whatever it is, and you can level up somebody else. It's, like, 1 to, like, 80 in, like, 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, you can get, like, good gear and stuff like that fairly quickly. That's what I do like about it, is that if you have a friend that wants to play with you, you don't have to, like, drag him through everything for, like, 6 months. It's, like, you can quite literally get him to the point where he'll at least be able to survive and start leveling with you and unlocking stuff with you.
Dude, they have the Eternal Collection.
Yeah.
And it's $59.
What does it come with?
Let's see. Comes with Rise of the Necromancer.
Yeah. That's like the new one.
It's got, like, let me go back and look at this. I know we're not talking about synths anymore and stuff like that, but.
Listen, we don't just talk about synths. We talk about technology.
It's called Reaper of Souls.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Evil Edition.
Yeah, that's the one when you fought the Grim Reaper and shit.
Yeah, it says, the Ultimate Evil Edition comes with both Diablo 3 and the Reaper of Souls expansion set together in one definitive volume. And then also you get Necromancer with it as well.
Yeah.
That's the Ultimate Collection. That looks pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, I'll probably download it.
It's fun.
I've been playing. I know I'm old school here, but I've been playing. I told you, I was talking to you the other day, and I was playing. What do you call it? Killzone.
Oh, yeah.
The last one that they made.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually liked it. So I thought it was kind of cool. And I think it's a great game. I know you said you were tired of it, but.
I liked it. I just, there wasn't enough, like, gameplay in it. There was a lot of, like, watching shit.
Really?
Yeah, like, everyone, like for instance, like, everyone, like, loves the games Uncharted. And, like, by no means do I, like, mean to, like, offend anyone by it. But come on. Game is so fucking boring. It's like a movie.
I don't think so. I think it's awesome.
Dude, like, just watch a fucking movie.
Wow.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, you press, like, 3 fucking buttons. Like, it's all, you just sit there, like.
Wow.
You know what I'm, but. I,
no, like, watch out, just, watch out, dick alert, but. Yeah,
dude, it looks amazing, but don't get me wrong, it looks amazing. It's definitely incredible, but the gameplay is fucking boring.
I don't think so. I actually enjoyed it.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Like, so, I play like Bloodborne and like Dark Souls and like Warcraft and shit like that.
Yeah, I have Bloodborne. I started playing it and I got frustrated and I wanted to throw the frigging controller through my television.
Oh my god.
Dude,
I platinumed that like the first like week it was out.
Well, I mean, you know, you're into that stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't downloaded or bought what was it, Far Cry 5?
Oh, so good.
Oh, I'm 6.
Far Cry 5. I've almost, like, I've beaten it, like, a bunch of times, but I need to get all the trophies. I need, like, 3 more trophies.
Yeah, I know. You guys are into that stuff. I just, I don't know. I was in, like, I did
it's an OCD thing.
Huh?
It's an OCD thing. I need to get everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I liked it. I liked Far Cry anyways. So I haven't downloaded it yet, but I will because it does look pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, getting back to music, I just called up Kraftwelt, Electronic Dimensions, it's called. And this is the first song on this album. It's called the Fiery Angels of Orc.
Oh my God.
Here you go. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Such a good album.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit different than Kraftwerk. It's more modern. Mm-hmm. But it's a good album. I have this album. I think it's awesome. Wow, my phone's getting really hot. So, yeah, man. I mean, you know.
Is it charging?
No, I got to buy one of those rock star things. But yeah, you know, I like I said, I was very unprepared for this this podcast today. And I know we're just kind of having a conversation. And but I just felt the need that we needed to do one to let people know that we're still alive. And we're still out there, you know, because I just think that, you know, being able to talk about something, and we do say, hey, this is Echo Craft, and I didn't say the tag at the beginning. That's how long it's been since I've done one. God bless you.
Oh, thanks, baby.
Wow.
You're so caring.
I am.